excited about this weekend, but I'm excited for tonight because I know he has a word for this section. And if you guys are going to get behind Brother Green, let's welcome him and let's praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. What a wonderful presence of the Lord here. It's always good for us that when God makes himself manifest among us with power or with mercy or with love, that we are sensitive to follow after that and give time that we will praise him in that dimension. This not only increases our church services to be spirit-led, but increases us as individuals to be spirit-led as well. I'm thrilled to be with you today. I spent some time in the auditorium today, and Holy Ghost spoke to me that his angel would be with me in this place, and that there is power in this place today. I want to give high honor to all of your youth officials, and I've heard their name once, but I've not memorized it yet, so much honor to you. Of course, Brother J.R., we've known for years, and Bishop Sobolchi, we love and appreciate you and your young bride. I thought I'd get a smile back there. My wife Lois is over here. Wave your hand, Luscious. The table you saw at the back is full of material that God has given her to write for individuals. You want to visit that. Also, Brother T.L. Smith, I think maybe I've known this bishop longer than anybody in the house, and he's known us longer than anybody. We're one flesh, baby, not talking about you. So good to see him and all of you. I mean, section four is the dope, right? I'm not even sure what that means, but I think I'm real fast time on that one. You know, I'm going to General Conference this year in Southern California, and I was thinking about letting my name run for youth president, but I'm concerned that I've only got a few years before I age out, so I probably won't do that. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Solomon received his wisdom from God. And as you read Proverbs, as you study Proverbs, you'll find that Solomon said more things on accident that were wise than most individuals say on purpose when they're trying to be wise. So Proverbs is more than just to be read, but to be studied. And I want to obey the Holy Ghost and what God has laid upon my heart. I'll begin reading at verse 7 and read a few verses, and then we will jump to verse 20. So let's look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. That's flowery, but that's powerful. In verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my proof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Very sobering, very powerful great revelation in this scripture. I'm preaching today, and I won't be lengthy. Choose the fear. Choose the fear. God bless you. You may be seated. I tried to use inflection and to accent words as I was reading this text. I wanted you to see that there are two fears mentioned in this first book of Proverbs. That is the fear of the Lord, mentioned in verse 7 and also verse 29. But then there's also your fear that is mentioned in verse 26 and 27. It's obvious as you read this scripture that wisdom is preaching to all of us as humans, all of us that have living souls. And wisdom is trying to get us to choose the fear of the Lord. And when those that are simple and those that are foolish choose not to have the fear of the Lord in their heart, then the choice has been made that now they have their fear or your fear. It's just one fear or the other. There's no way to get around it. Either choose the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, or choose your fear that comes with desolation, destruction, etc. Fear of the Lord brings knowledge. It brings wisdom. This is in our text. It brings instruction. It brings grace upon your head, an honorable necklace upon thy neck. But your fear, the fear of your fear, brings desolation, which means to be rushed upon. It brings destruction or oppressive calamity. It brings distress and it brings anguish. Oh, we are living in a generation of individuals who have their fear, or your fear, if you will. This is very adamant upon our people in the culture today. Wisdom is preaching in her text. How long will you be seduced? The word simple ones means seducing. How long will you be seduced to love simplicity? How long will the scorners continue to scorn? Or that word can mean mock. How long will fools hate knowledge? How long will you turn at the reproach of my reproof? How long until hopefully you will hear my words and repent? I looked up online for this message and found a publication that is submitted by the National Library of Medicine. And you'll have to know, of course, that this is a very woke and a very liberal entity. But this is what they have posted, and I quote, "Recently, social media platforms are heavily moderated to prevent the spread of online hate speech, which is usually fertile in toxic words and is directed toward an individual or community. Owing to such heavy moderation, now newer, subtle techniques are being deployed. One of the most striking of these is fear speech. Fear speech, as the name suggests, attempts to incite fear about a target community or individual. Although subtle, it might be highly effective, often pushing communities toward physical conflict." Now, that is absolutely a woke statement and absolutely a very liberal statement. But this article goes on to say that a study has been done with 400,000 fear speech posts and 700,000 hate speech posts. And their conclusion is that social media outlets and platforms, including Twitter and Facebook, and this is a quote, "necessitates the using of sophisticated moderation policies and mass awareness to combat fear speech." Fear speech is becoming more and more a buzzword. This dark and sinful culture that we live in, wants to moderate and ban all speech that brings fear. It is seen as brutal. Speech that brings fear is seen as bullish, heartless, cruel, and it is definitely not politically correct. Even many so-called Christian churches are removing biblical words and biblical doctrines from their church service so as not to incite any type of fear among those that would be watching online or those that would be in attendance. These are words and doctrines like rapture of the church. Don't say that because anybody that's not ready might be in fear. Don't use the words left behind. No way would you say eternal torment. Never would the word hell be mentioned behind a pulpit or in a message. Even the words like crucifixion could cause some individuals to fear, so don't mention that. Many churches are declaring. They are saying, take the blood out of every song and don't sing the songs with the blood in it because it could bring too much fear. Their reasoning, of course, is that in a society full of individuals who are dealing with anxiety and panic attacks and fear phobias, etc., they're trying to do away with all fear. Fear has become in our culture a terrible, good-for-nothing entity to be abolished and to be done away with. However, the Word of God, which is infallible, teaches us over and over that we should have fear. A fear for our God, a fear for our Lord. And yes, this word's main definition means terror or fear, and it also means deep respect and reverence and a fearful way you revere and respect our God and even other entities of the kingdom of God. Fear can be very healthy. And if there is never any fear in a person's life, I don't expect they'll live long. It is the fear of heights that keeps me from doing somersaults on the edge of the roof. I might get close enough to scare my wife, but no somersaults. It's the fear of poverty that gets me out of bed consistently to make sure that I'm providing for my family. It's the fear of sickness, the knowledge of sickness. And now I fear the sickness, so I make careful and intentional purpose on what I consume or what I bring my body into contact with. But the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom and instruction. It's the knowledge of gravity, the knowledge of poverty, the knowledge of disease, the knowledge of sickness that makes me shy away from things. And it should be the knowledge of God that begins to put wisdom in our life that will bless us all of our life. In verse 7 of our text, Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the terror of the Lord, the reverence, the deep, frightful respect of the Lord, of His holiness, of His righteousness, of His power. That fear of Him would bring wisdom and knowledge and instruction. And those that don't choose, Proverbs 1 and 29, if you don't choose the fear of the Lord, the Scripture makes it clear that you hate knowledge. You want to live in simplicity and not know knowledge. In the Gospels, when Jesus would give knowledge of who He is, proving that He was the Son of God through His miraculous miracles and healings and divine operations, oftentimes we get to hear and to read the reactions of those that are receiving miracles or those that were around the Lord when these miracles happened. And we see acts of great thanksgiving. like the leper who came back to worship the Lord after he was healed. But you don't see the fear of the Lord. You see gratitude and thanksgiving. Like many others, when miracles happen, even some when there is, like Tabitha, who is raised from the dead, we see gratitude and thankfulness and amazement, but not the fear of the Lord. But there are just a few, maybe just a little more than a handful of places that God did things on this earth when he was wrapped in flesh as Christ. And when he did these things happened, they feared and they trembled and they fell upon their face. And the fear of the Lord caused wisdom to come to a greater dimension. We need to understand this because we can get very comfortable with the power of God in our midst until it becomes ordinary. Even in powerful apostolic church service where people are receiving the Holy Ghost and apostolic demonstration has happened through gifts of the Spirit and signs, miracles, and wonders that we sing about all the time and we experience here and there in our church services, it can just become the norm and the average and what's expected until someone gets the Holy Ghost and it's just thanksgiving. But it doesn't cause us to fall on our face with the wonder that God would take someone full of sin whose life had a trajectory for hell itself and turn them around because of a heart that would repent. Somehow the fear of the Lord is not something we always experience. But in these handful of times, it was absolutely there. Matthew 17 and 6 begins to describe what we call the Mount Transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John are with the Lord as he goes up to the mountaintop. And there appearing from the distant past was a Moses that these disciples had been revering and reading about all their life. And the great prophet Elijah also appeared on the mountain. And Jesus Christ stood on the mountaintop and talked with these individuals, Moses and the prophet Elijah. But it wasn't until there was a cloud that formed and a thunderous voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." That the Bible said the disciples who have seen miracle after miracle and healing after healing, that they fell on their face and they were sore afraid. In all my life living for God, and in all my ministry, all my pursuit of gifts of the Spirit, signs, miracles, and wonders, I have never heard what I would honestly say is the audible voice of God. I've never heard that with my physical ears. I hear his voice always. I talk and commune with him always. He speaks to me and reveals to me things supernaturally. But never have I heard an audible voice of God. And I'm not sure what I'd do if I did. Hey, try me, Lord. I hope that it would be so thunderous and powerful that a God from heaven, as far away as that might be, would allow sound vibrations to happen so that my ears could hear God speak. I have a feeling that if I heard the audible voice of God, I'd be on my face asking God that I am here. Do what you will. Here am I. Speak to me. Send me. Would you desire to hear the audible voice of God? It could happen in this place today. All of us could be witness, just like Peter, James, and John on the Mount Transfiguration, with an audible voice that all of us would declare we heard. I wonder if that would put us with fear and respect and reverence for an awesome God if that would put us on our face and we would declare we are sore afraid. Another time you'll find this in the Gospels is with Mark chapter 4 and around verse 41. Storm has come on the Sea of Galilee. Disciples are in the boat, and Jesus, very tired, is asleep in the hinder parts of the boat. But the storm becomes so cantankerous. Hurricanatic winds are so strong until every effort of the disciples is just failing. Now they fear that the crashing of the thunder and the lightning that is coursing from the skies will somehow destroy them, if not the lightning itself, and the waves that are being tossed by the tempest wind will surely turn them over, or the waves crashing into the boat will cause them to sink. And so finally they wake the Lord Jesus Christ up off his soggy pillow, and they say, "Don't you care that we perish?" And he steps to the edge of the boat and looks at the winds and the waves and declares, "Peace, be still." And instantly, tornado-type winds becomes a gentle breeze through their hair, and a raging wave becomes a placid sea. And instantly, nature itself, at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, has changed in 1 second of time. It is different. And the disciples, the Bible says, they feared exceedingly and said, "What manner of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him?" When nature itself hears the voice of its creator, it obeys. It obeys. I wonder if we saw something like that, even perhaps a tornado rushing toward us, and the word was spoken from God that tornado will cease, and instantly winds cease, not just turn and go the other way, but instantly peace. Would that cause us to see God in such a way that we would be exceedingly fearful at his wondrous power, that he controls all of nature? Mark 5:15. Jesus delivers a man who is a demoniac. He has legions. The voice says legions because of how many demons. And the Bible actually says he was possessed of the devil. But when Jesus speaks deliverance to this individual, now he sets in his right mind clothed for those of the city that knew him to view the work of God. And the Bible says that when they saw him clothed in their right mind, they were afraid because of the power of deliverance that Jesus exercised. Deliverance is a powerful demonstration to cause us to have a fearful respect at the power of God. In Mark 5:33, it's the woman with the issue of blood. Her case is known by all of us, but simply put, she had no other hope. She spent every penny she had trying to get better, but nobody could help her. The best of modern medicine only made her worse, and so now she has no hope. As it were, they sent her home to die. There is no hope. But when she determined, "If I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I know I shall be made whole." She touches the hem of his garment, and instantly power, or virtue, that Greek word is dunamis, flowed from the Lord, and healing virtue that no man could help, that no medicine can help, delivered her of her sickness and made her whole. The Bible says that when Jesus began to find where that power had flowed to, she spoke with fear and with trembling in his presence because she knew what the Lord had done for her physical body. Maybe a healing that is so personal to you that not just perhaps the body will take care of itself, not just perhaps, you know, the antibodies or the medicine or what we looked on Google to eat some forbidden fruit from Tahiti somewhere that would save us. But absolutely, we found nothing to help. But God instantly did a miracle in our personal, physical. Maybe that would be enough for us to declare, God, I am fearful and trembling in your presence because of how powerful, how loving, and how merciful you are. Both Luke 2 and 9 and Mark 16 and 8 are different stories, but they both speak of this same essence, that angels appeared. And in the presence of angels, people that had been around the Lord for quite a bit of time fell down with fear and with trembling. I don't know exactly what it's going to be for you, but we have the opportunity to choose the fear of the Lord. To choose that we want the knowledge of God and that we don't want your fear, our fear, the world fear that's bringing destruction and anguish and desolation, but we want the fear of God that brings knowledge and brings strength. We don't want to do what the world is trying to do and just ignore that there's a need for fear and for speech of fear. We want the fear that brings us closer to God. When I was raised on apostolic pews, this particular chapter was preached one time when I was a young person. And if you will allow me to just speak of my perception, I perceived later in life that perhaps the preacher was just mad. Just angry. He looked that way for sure. His words seemed that way. When he took a little bit of liberty, and instead of making the preacher wisdom, he made it God himself who is wise. And he declared that if you keep telling God no, and you don't commit to him and the wisdom of the word of God and that repentance should be in your life and overcoming power, that there would be a time such as in the rapture. When you would decide, oh my goodness, the rapture's taking place. And now you would want to choose wisdom and the fear of the Lord. But God would laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear cometh. I'm telling you, it was a tough church service. And he laughed like God was laughing. And he mocked. Oh, God, I'll repent now. All the things that might have been said, that when that calamity happens, and that will be the case, no doubt, for people when the rapture takes place. Surely the last preacher that you'll ever hear is the preacher called Wisdom. When you perhaps did not expect your life to be cut short, because some drunk driver crossed over the road, it wasn't even your fault. And with your last breaths and your heart pumping the blood out of your body, realizing that you should have made better decisions, that's a tough place to even consider. But wisdom will preach to you at that time and will declare that you should have listened. And there will be a mocking and there will be a laughing that you will hear. But even more than that, and I would say that I'm warped today because when I was raised in the church, there was so much conviction messages preached, and we are going full cycle. Young minister, if you want to get ahead of the curve, you let God begin to speak to you about some good, strong conviction messages of sin. Start preaching about hell again. God's going to bring us back as a culture to hearing this again and letting a fear of the Lord properly be upon us. And perhaps it was used because people were just wanting to intimidate and to be mad. But I'll say this, I was on my knees in the altar, trembling and fearful. I remember it to this day, asking God for one more chance and to not be so simple and foolish in the choices I made in the future of my life. Jonah is called as a prophet to Nineveh. He doesn't even like Nineveh. He probably spoke the words that God gave him with harshness, probably uncaring, probably even a little bit happy behind his face when he said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. This terrible, good for nothing city." And after declaring his prophetic word, he went outside the city and said, "Okay, God, let's see your thunder, your lightning, your hail and brimstone." But Nineveh heard a message preached by a preacher with no compassion, with no love, but the fear of the Lord moved and operated. So my prayer is this. Preacher, even if you're not in a good mood, preach the word of God. Even if you're mad at the saints because they're being goobers, just preach the word of God. Prophesy the word, prophet. Let the evangelist gather, let the teacher ground, because we need to hear the word. And if ever there's somebody that has a heart to hear the wisdom of God and to fear the Lord God and his word, regardless of mankind, preach the word again. Very vividly, I remember many times we have seen deliverances and healings. I'm not sure I've ever full on have seen an angel. Maybe I have. Angels that were more disguised as individuals. Maybe I have. But I feel the presence of angels like I do in this place today. And sometimes out of my peripheral, I will see what seems to be just a rush of a spiritual being of some sort out of my peripheral that I see, recognizing what I hear of the rustling and recognizing what I feel of the Spirit. I believe that to be angelic. But I have experienced legion in our ministry many times. We have somehow in America so drugged up everyone until there's very few opportunities of devils being delivered from individuals in our church services. You'll find it absolutely across the world in third world countries mostly, where individuals that are small, seemingly have no strength, throwing large-bodied men around. Even I have seen things that would defy gravity happen, as individuals were possessed with demons or perhaps even the devil. I've never told this publicly. We were ministering in Texas, close to Houston. Great revival had been happening. Backsliders were coming back to the church. There was a lady there, I'm guessing she was in her 20s, and she came back to service because she could not sleep at night. She was tormented. She had backslidden, involved herself in particular with marijuana, and also involved, while she was in an altered conscious state with marijuana, with hard rock music. These are two avenues that allow you to be very open to the spirits of darkness. If you are on marijuana or other conscious-altering drugs, it is easy for your spirit to be relaxed and open to receive these demonic possessions. She came to revival service because she was being tormented. Church had not started, but she was in the prayer room. That church, they had a men's prayer room on the one side of the auditorium and a women's prayer room on the other side of the auditorium. I had finished my prayer and was in the auditorium, and they came to get me, and they said, "This girl," and we knew her, we need your help in the ladies' prayer room." So pastor was in there before me, and I came into the ladies' prayer room, and there was beautifully, modestly dressed, she knew how to dress, lady that was kneeling on the floor. But her hair was all in her face, hiding spiritually. The hairdo that she had made was long messed up. Her clothes were now no longer tucked in neatly, as she had been contorting under the power of a demonic spirit. When we just began to lay hands on her quickly, perhaps even too quickly, in my opinion, she instantly revolted and fell on the ground and began to writhe on the ground in a way that began to make her very immodest. And she had no care and no concern. She was frothing at the mouth and making growly sounds. There were some of the young ministers, the pastor's son in particular, that came in to watch and to see and to learn. And as things were happening there, pastor began to speak to her and calm her down and began to assure her that the love of God was here and that she could trust what was happening, to not resist the power of the Holy Ghost that was upon her, great wisdom that he was speaking to her. And when we got ready to lay hands and declare the name of Jesus and to demand this demon to come out, there was a little bit, and this is going to be gross, but it's truth. There was a little bit of fluid that was coming from her nose, and the pastor's son had taken his coat to try to make her more modest, and it was on her lap area. And when we began to speak the name of Jesus, pouring from her nostrils was black, dark black, what looks like phlegm or whatever it might be. And it was all over the coat of the pastor's son. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, he's going to have to burn this thing. We prayed for her, and as we spoke the name of Jesus, instantly you could feel the possession began to loosen. She threw back her head and lifted her hands and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And that possession, that physical demonstration of that spiritual possession that had come out of her. After there was tremendous praise and worship, I went to hand the coat to the pastor's son, told him what happened, and I said, you need to check it out, wash it off, burn the coat, do something. He took it back to the restroom and could find nothing whatsoever of stain or wetness or anything upon the coat. I could tell you story after story of things that we don't often talk about behind pulpits that should bring the fear of the Lord into our heart and into our minds and spirits. There is nothing like an almighty God that'll reach way down to where we are. And when we carelessly and foolishly and with simplicity involved ourselves in pleasures of the world, open up our heart for demonic possession, that still he loves us and he cares for us and he'll do what he needs to do to deliver us and to live in our heart again after we have been cleansed. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I know that there is a need in this culture for the fear of the Lord to be chosen, to be pursued, to be hungry for. I know that we have been speaking for several years now about greater things, and we have latched on, and rightfully so, to the prophecies of the end time. That in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. We've attached on to the prophecies of Daniel, which declared in the last days there will be a people that do know their God. They shall be great and do exploits. But the approach to this greatness of God is an understanding of the fear of the Lord. Not afraid to approach him, but respectfully and reverently approaching our church services, that somehow the God of all creation and glory would choose to come among us. And as we intensify in our knowledge of the Lord and the fear of the Lord, then we'll open ourselves up to greater operations, greater miracles, greater signs and wonders. You stand with me today. Young people of Section 4, if it burns in your heart that you want to respect God to a much greater degree, even fear, and know the terror of the Lord, so that it would take you to greater places of wisdom and instruction. I want you to just join me at the front today. Just stand in this altar, join me in the front if that's your heartbeat, that's your desire. If you'd help us just play softly on the keyboard, sis. This is no accident that these altars are filling up, because this is the prophecy of the last days, that it would be our youth group that would operate in the prophetic, that it'd be our youth group that God begins to deal with for the supernatural. It'd be our sons, it'd be our daughters that God would begin to move upon. I'm going to pray that God would speak to us in an audible voice. And maybe it'll happen in this church service. I don't know the will and the timing of God for this. I'm going to pray that He would open our eyes so that we could see the angelic host that is in this place. I'm going to ask Him that He would show us such a deliverance from spiritual anxiety and fear of your fear of this world's destruction, that we'd be amazed and fall with terror in our heart at how powerful God is. I'm going to ask that He'd heal our physical bodies when there is no hope, because there has to be fear. Not the fear of the world, but there has to be a fear, because the knowledge of God brings wisdom, instruction. And that's where God is calling us to move and to operate. If you're hungry for this, would you raise your hands? Let me pray for you. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Father, speak from heaven and let our ears physically hear. Speak what you will from heaven. Let us hear in our physical ears. I'm hungry to hear your voice thunder from heaven to earth where I am. Speak reproof. Speak repentance. Speak love. Speak mercy. Whatever you want to speak, my response will be one of awe and of reverence and of fear. That it happened in our church services. That it happened in our personal, that it happened in our personal prayer times. Let us hear the audible voice of God. Father, let it not just be one or two here and there, but open our eyes so that we can see the angelic host of heaven in our church services. Let us see it riding beside us in the car and walking beside us as we go to school and work. We ask, open our eyes so that we can see the angels. Woo. Bring deliverance of those who are possessed with the devil. Give us opportunity to speak the name of Jesus over those demon-possessed, and let the awe of God be upon us. Heal. Deliver. Do in us these greater things that bring the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. In Jesus' name. If there's a need in your physical body for healing right now, I feel the power of God for physical healing. If there's a need in your physical body for healing, I want you to raise both your hands high. Both your hands high so that believers can see you. There you go. Those that have both their hands high. If you're a believer and want to see healing virtue to flow, why don't you reach out and touch them or stretch your hand towards someone in this altar or across the auditorium and just begin to speak healing as a believer. I believe, Father, that you have sent us here with the power of the Holy Ghost, and I declare healing, virtue to flow in this house. Father, send good gifts from heaven and let healing virtue flow into the bodies of these. Hey, I rebuke sickness and disease. I rebuke cancer and heart problems. I declare healing virtue. Woo. Yes, Lord. 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 Yay! Healing virtue is in the house. Terekerenda shokotalabaha. Okay, now listen to me, youth. I'm going to pray a prayer of deliverance. And if you realize that your fear or the world's fear has somehow attached itself to you, and you're dealing with anxieties and fear phobias and panic attacks, it's time to have a deliverance. And from this moment on, realize you need fear, the fear of the Lord, but not the other fear. And let a deliverance happen from this moment forth, that you are an overcomer, not to give in to that fear, but to give in to the fear of the Lord. Would you raise your hands and be honest? I need a miracle of deliverance right now. Church, lift your voice and join with me. I come against the spirit of your fear, of the fear of the world, and I declare we are the children of the Most High God. Fear, you must loose your hold and be gone by the power of the name of Jesus. Anxiety, leave. Panic attack, leave. Fear, leave. Depression, leave. Spirit of suicide, leave. Yes. Yes. Ha ye etorono kolia. He shakorono kotola barada. Yes, yes, yes. That's deliverance power you're feeling. Yes, yes, yes. That's it, ministry. Speak the word. Lay the hands and speak the word. That's an intercessor. Begin to intercede. Now that there's been a touch of God, it's time to pursue the fear of the Lord. Would you begin to call out to an all-powerful God to put a fear of God in your heart and in your life? That's it, ministry. Help us. I'm getting out of the microphone. Let the power of God move and flow now.